The Holy Grail Body Transformation System, Part 4, Lifestyle Factors. Your lifestyle matters. Muscle gain and fat loss are not influenced only by training and nutrition. What do you think would happen if you were following the most perfect workout, but you were also stressed out, sleep deprived, strung out on caffeine all day long, and indulging in alcohol late at night on a regular basis? You know the answer. Your results would be suboptimal, and your odds of achieving that elusive holy grail would be much, much lower. Gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time is the type of goal that requires you to have your act together in every area of your life. But far too often, the lifestyle factors get totally taken for granted and blown off. Do not let that happen to you. There are many lifestyle factors we could discuss, but there are a few big ones, and I would recommend you start with these. First one is sleep. We talked earlier about how hormones can affect nutrient partitioning that determines where energy comes from when you're in a deficit or where it is stored when you're in a surplus. Hormones also affect your metabolism. Thyroid is one hormone you're probably familiar with. Hormones also affect your appetite. Some hormones send a signal that you're full, others send a signal to eat more. In a study published in Nutrition Research Reviews, scientists discovered that sleep deprivation can reduce leptin, that's the anti-starvation hormone, and increase ghrelin, a stomach hormone that increases hunger. That is a double whammy. Lower leptin levels affect thyroid and other body systems that decrease metabolism. Higher ghrelin levels increase your appetite, so you've got fewer calories being burned and a greater chance of more calories being eaten. Not good. A study published in Hormone and Metabolic Research also explained how shorting yourself of quality sleep can increase cortisol as well. Here's what it said. Sleep deprivation induces specific alterations in neuroendocrine systems, which include an increase in the stress hormone cortisol, favoring central fat deposition, a decrease in the adipostatic signal leptin, and an increase in the orexigenic signal ghrelin, increasing appetite and increasing food intake. The phenomenon may be contributing to the current epidemic of obesity. I know many bodybuilders and athletes, and I used to be one of them, who stubbornly refuse to sleep 7 to 8 hours a night, which is arguably the optimal sleep duration. In fact, I seemed to get not only satisfactory results with only 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep, I competed in bodybuilding during times when I was sleeping less than 6 hours a night, and I placed high or even won contests. So I defiantly thumbed my nose at the thought of sleeping 8 hours every night. Knowing what I know now, if I wanted the best odds for getting the best results possible, I would not take any chances by neglecting sleep quality or sleep quantity. Here's 6 tips for good sleep habits. 1, get to bed early. 2, wake up early if possible so you maximize the nighttime hours you're sleeping and the daytime hours that you're awake. 3, go to sleep and wake up on a schedule at the same time every night and every day. 4, sleep in a totally dark room. 5, avoid alcohol right before bedtime. 6, avoid caffeine or stimulants late in the day. Also remember that the largest growth hormone spike occurs after you fall into deep sleep. Anything that disrupts getting quality sleep can also affect growth hormone as well. The next lifestyle factor is stress. Continuous exposure to adverse stressors without release and without coping mechanisms is not just bad for you, it can quite literally kill you. And if it doesn't kill you, it can make you fat. The stress response causes an increase in cortisol. That's the catabolic stress hormone. If you're unable to cope with long-term adverse stressful events, that's been linked to enlarged visceral fat deposits, insulin resistance, hyperinsulinemia, impaired glucose tolerance, altered lipid profiles, and a very high probability of coronary artery disease, as well as adrenal hypertrophy. Research has shown that glucocorticoids, cortisol, may have a direct or indirect effect on fat tissue metabolism, energy partitioning, and the action of insulin. High cortisol may also suppress thermogenesis and induce leptin resistance. Chronic stress can lead to increased food intake, especially for women, both for physiological and psychological reasons. That's because women tend to be more emotional eaters than men. And high chronic levels of stress also predict weight relapse and overeating after weight loss through low-calorie dieting. In other words, high stress can kill your maintenance efforts after weight loss. If you have high levels of stress in your life, you cannot underestimate the importance of developing coping mechanisms and using stress reduction techniques, both for your health and for controlling body fat. Before you get stressed out about stress, though, remember one thing. The only people that don't have stress are dead people. The stress response is a normal part of our evolutionary fight or flight programming. What's not normal is continuous stress, and that is what many people are exposed to in our fast-paced society today. So don't stress about having stress. It's when you feel continuous stress and you don't balance that with rest, release, and recovery that you start running into problems. When you feel continuously stressed, you absolutely must either escape, at least temporarily, from the source of the stress, or find or develop coping mechanisms to deal with the stress to lessen your response to it. Some people take up meditation or use deep breathing exercises. Some people take walks along the beach or out in nature somewhere. It would be nice if that's possible. They might take a hot bath or jacuzzi, get a massage, some kind of spa treatment, listen to classical music, light an aromatherapy candle, watch a comedy. The list of stress relievers goes on and on. Here's one suggestion that may seem novel, but it comes straight from the scientific literature. Research published in the Journal of Biological Psychiatry demonstrated that emotional social support reduces the physical effects of stress and lowers levels of cortisol. So get yourself a support buddy, or turn to a trusted friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse, or join a motivation and support group like our own Inner Circle. That's it. www.burnthefatinnercircle.com. The third lifestyle factor I want to talk about is alcohol. And I want to spend a little bit more time on this one because my clients and readers ask me all the time about whether it's okay to drink just a little, or they even ask how they can get away with drinking while doing the least damage. And I've always had this sneaking suspicion that even when someone asks me an innocent enough question about alcohol during a fat loss or a muscle building program, what they're really doing is looking for permission. They're hoping that they can keep drinking and they want someone to tell them it's okay. Gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time is the most challenging of all body composition goals. It takes focus, it takes effort, it takes attention to detail. You will rarely see a serious figure competitor or a bodybuilding competitor boozing just weeks or months prior to an important contest. And a holy grail type of body transformation is also a time when the nutritional details matter the most. So why would you take compromises or risk making it more difficult than it already is by indulging in habits or behaviors with little or no upside, but potentially serious downsides? How serious are the downsides? Will drinking really give you a beer belly or completely sabotage your muscle building goals? Well, whether alcohol is really fattening, that's been a controversial subject because technically speaking, alcohol is not stored as fat. It's simply used first in the oxidative hierarchy ahead of the other fuels. Your body has no storage capacity for alcohol at all, so it has to be immediately eliminated. As soon as you absorb it, the alcohol is metabolized by the ADH pathway into acetate, which is then used as the fuel source instead of fat. So fat oxidation takes a back seat, and that's the bad news. When you're metabolizing alcohol, fat burning goes on hold, and the other foods you eat are far more likely to be stored as fat. One study that was widely publicized by the BBC back in 2003 tried to dismiss the concept of the beer belly as just a myth. But recent research published in the journal Obesity says otherwise. They found what they called a very robust association between alcohol intake, waist circumference, and waist-to-hip ratio. They said that a high alcohol intake was closely associated with abdominal body fat. And abdominal fat accumulation, which is also known as android or central obesity, it's not just a cosmetic problem. It can be a serious health risk, completely independent of total body mass. The deep type of visceral fat, it increases the risk for cardiovascular disease, for high blood pressure, high blood lipids, glucose intolerance, elevated insulin levels, and even a higher mortality rate. The weight of the current evidence does give scientific support to the beer belly phenomenon if the right conditions are in place. A surplus of calories and hormonal disarray. The hormones may be strongly involved because a high alcohol intake has been shown to decrease testosterone in men, and also increase cortisol levels, and that can lead to the visceral fat accumulation. The drinking also goes hand in hand with late nights and disrupted sleep cycles, and that again compounds the negative hormonal effects. Your age may also be a factor, since the recent research shows a very strong correlation between alcohol use and abdominal fat, especially in older men. Women also tend to shift their fat storage from the hips and thighs to the abdominal region once menopause arrives. And that explains the complaint you hear that I used to be able to get away with it when I was in college, but not now that I'm older. And speaking of gender, this also seems to play a major role in the alcohol body fat relationship. The correlation between alcohol and body fat gain is much stronger in men in almost all of the research studies. The statistics show that when men drink more, they gain more weight. Women don't. In fact, this is strange, but some studies show an inverse relationship between alcohol and body mass in women. Now, there may be some kind of gender-based physiological reason for this, but the simple and most likely explanation is that women are probably better at compensating for the alcohol calories that they consume. In other words, men tend to drink and eat while women tend to drink instead of eating. Most people, though, in general, they don't cut back their food intake when they drink alcohol. They drink in addition to what they normally eat, or they eat even more than usual, and they do it unconsciously, especially men. Their failure to compensate leads them to a caloric surplus, and since the calories were not the high quality kind, it's not the good kind of weight that they gain. Or they had a calorie deficit, and the excess calories from alcohol cancel out their deficit, and all of a sudden they have a so-called unexplainable fat loss plateau. On fat loss programs, liquid calories are usually not a good idea to begin with because fluids, especially sugar-containing and non-viscous fluids, they're known to have a weaker effect on fullness than solid foods. Soft drinks sweetened with high fructose corn syrup is the notorious example. The alcohol calories themselves, in combination with the appetite-induced increase in food intake, it has an additive effect on gaining weight. High-fat foods are a major culprit in adding to the calorie surplus and fat storage potential. There was a study published by Angelo Tremblay back in 1995, which said that alcohol and a high-fat diet are a combination that favors overeating. Another one of the worst combinations is alcoholic drinks made with soda, added sugar, or drink mixes. An 8-ounce margarita, for example, can set you back 500 calories. A couple of those on top of a high-fat junk food meal, you could erase an entire day's worth of work. If you drink in moderation, if you're aware of the calories in the alcohol, if you're aware of the calories from additional food you consume during or after drinking, and if you compensate for all of the above so you stay in energy balance, you won't get fat. If you stay in a calorie deficit, you'll still lose fat. With that said, beer and wine lovers might be wondering You mean I can drink and still lose fat? I just need to stay in a calorie deficit? Yes, but before you rush off to the pub for a cold one, hold that thought while you consider this nutritional reality. Empty alcohol calories displace nutrient-dense whole food calories. When you're on a fat loss program, you have a fairly small calorie budget, especially women. So you have to give some careful consideration to how you spend those calories. For example, if a female is on 1,500 calorie per day diet, does she really want to spend 500 of those calories, one third of her daily intake on alcoholic drinks, and leave only 1,000 calories for health promoting foods, foods with fiber and lean muscle building protein? I realize some people may answer yes to that question, but then again, if some people spent their money as frivolously as they spent their calories, they would be in deep financial trouble really fast. Although drinking alcohol doesn't necessarily cause fat gain or slow down weight loss if you stay in negative energy balance, it's a waste of calories. For optimal body composition improvements, the priority is to get adequate intake of protein, fiber, and all the other essential nutrients first and get the highest nutrient density possible given the small calorie budget available. You need nutrients, not just calories, and you need enough quality fuel to power your training sessions. Another study, this one published in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association years ago, it revealed significantly higher calorie intakes among drinkers, but much lower nutrient densities of vitamins, minerals, protein, and essential fats. Take, for example, the skinny but malnourished and atrophied alcoholic. That's a perfect example of someone who stayed in an energy deficit by replacing quality nutrient-dense food calories with worthless empty alcohol calories. But unless you want that Skid Row physique, I wouldn't recommend the alcohol plus calorie deficit approach. So to sum it up, alcohol is not stored directly as fat in the literal sense, although it does provide metabolizable calories that count. Whether or not you gain weight as a result of drinking depends on whether you're in a calorie deficit or a calorie surplus. But alcohol affects you in many ways. Alcohol contributes to worsening your body composition by way of calorie surplus, suppressing fat oxidation, stimulating appetite, decreasing testosterone, increasing cortisol, disrupting your sleep, disrupting your training intensity, stimulating abdominal fat buildup, providing little nutritional value, and displacing foods that are high in nutritional value. Beyond the one or two drinks that most people consider moderation, alcohol is toxic and it's not beneficial in any way. As Andrew Prentice of Cambridge wrote in his very frequently referenced paper, Alcohol and Obesity, alcohol is essentially a poison which must be detoxified as soon as possible. Needless to say, binge drinking and getting drunk never has any place in a fitness lifestyle, not to mention hangovers aren't very conducive to good workouts. What about the reputed upsides of a drink or two? Well, the current consensus in the scientific community is that moderate amounts of alcohol, particularly red wine, do have causally proven heart health benefits. And much ado has been made of resveratrol lately and other healthy compounds that are in wine like polyphenols and proanthocyanidin. But I don't recommend daily drinking because behaviors repeated daily become habits. Behaviors repeated multiple times daily become strong habits. Habits can be hard to break, and habitual drinking can lead to binges or ultimately even alcoholism. There's countless alternatives to gain similar or greater health benefits, both from exercise as well as the intake of other foods such as fruits and vegetables, foods which coincidentally are low in the diets of most heavy drinkers and which are well spent calories that help your fat loss efforts, not hurt them. Although you could drink and get away with it if you diligently maintained your calorie deficit, drinking does not help with your quest for the Holy Grail. Your optimal strategy? Avoid alcohol while on a fat loss or body recomposition program. after reaching your goal and shifting back to maintenance or more casual fitness goals, you can drink in moderation if that's your choice. If you make this choice, then enjoy your adult beverages moderately, sensibly, and responsibly, preferably infrequently, such as on weekends or special occasions. Plan it carefully into your calorie budget as part of a balanced diet, rich in fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, essential fats, and other nutrients. Then you can enjoy it without feeling guilty. Because in the long run, it's all about energy balance, nutrition, and moderation.